Listen to the sound of men shaving their balls before the age of Manscaped. Yeah! Those screams are a thing of the past thanks to Manscaped. No more cuts and nicks with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, featuring advanced skin-safe technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer, more satisfying shave. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. They aren't kidding. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. 20% off, free shipping to manscaped.com. Use the code VSIN. Your partner and your balls will thank you. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Studies show that 70% of guys who experience erectile dysfunction don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online. Getting started simple. Go to GetRoman.com/bets and complete that online visit. Now, if your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get checked out. And with Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Go to Roman.com/bets, B-E-T-S, to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/bets. One more time, GetRoman.com/bets.
It's time to follow the money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, only on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM Channel 204.
All right, Matt Eumanns here with football genius, writer, raconteur, Michael Lombardi.
Raconteur, yeah.
You got a lot of stories about some of the legends of the NFL.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. I've been really lucky to be around some of the great people. Learn a lot. Learn an awful lot. Keep learning. That's the best part.
Paul Stone was once a sports writer in the state of Texas. Now he's a college football handicapper, one of the best in the business, and he joins us now straight out of the heart of Texas. Paul, are you watching the British Open? I know you're a golf bettor as well.
I was watching it earlier, Matt, but I'm right now I don't have the TV on. I've got a bunch of computers and sheets of information, and I'm prepared to talk to two of the great names. And when you think football, you think Lombardi and Eumanns, and maybe not in that order necessarily. But
that's true.
It's great to be on with you guys, and great to be. I think this weekend, this Saturday, we'll be 5 weeks away from Florida and Miami, Florida. So getting real close to college football.
5 weeks away from that, Michael, and 50 days away from the first NFL.
Can't wait regular for that. Yeah, game. Paul, as you focus on this college football season, I know you're in the Big 12 Conference. Talk to us a little bit about. I saw yesterday that they said Lincoln Riley said Jalen Hurd may or may not be the quarterback. Was he just hedging his bet, or where do you think he's headed there?
I think it's two words you're worried about today in college football that we really didn't even know. I think Michael 2 years ago, or didn't think much about. Certainly not 2 years ago. Transfer portal.
Yeah,
Jalen Hurts is clearly going to be the starting quarterback at the University of Oklahoma. You know as well as I do that a football team's one play away from the backup quarterback becoming the starting quarterback, and he just didn't want those other guys to bail, is my opinion. I mean, you know, he wants Hurts to keep competing, but he wants those other guys to stay in the program and keep competing. But there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's not a whole lot of certainly Spencer Rattler, for instance. He's a very talented true freshman that's there in Norman this year. But Jalen Hurts is the only guy who's really game ready, and he will be the starting quarterback for Oklahoma this year.
How's he going to change the Oklahoma offense, Paul? Because you talked about Spencer Rattler. He's the number 3 quarterback recruit out of high school this year, a dual threat type of quarterback. I think maybe a little bit more like Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray. Jalen Hurts is a little bit different. He's not really a precision downfield passer. Do you think Lincoln Riley is going to change that offense a little bit to tailor to his skills?
I think he has to. I mean, you kind of alluded to it. You know, Jalen Hurts improved his passing skills, I think, in the mid-range passing game, but he still is not a big-time downfield thrower. So when you're coming off back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners and guys who have the skill set like Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, I think you have to adjust a little bit. Plus, not only a new quarterback, although he's had great success, obviously, at Alabama, now he's in a new system. Although Oklahoma's a great program, he doesn't have all those Alabama Crimson Tide players surrounding him. So he doesn't have, in my mind, as crazy as it sounds, quite as much help. Plus, he's got four new offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. The only offensive lineman returning for Oklahoma, sophomore center Creed Humphrey. And that offensive line, you know, for handicappers out there, I think that's the thing in college football that's most overlooked. Is how many people are coming back in the offensive line, how many starts are coming back in the offensive line, what kind of experience do the players who are coming into starting positions, have they played a little bit or not played at all? I think it's critical. And I don't think Oklahoma's going to match what they've done the last 4 years, which has averaged 43.5 points or more in each of the last 4 years. I think they're going to be hard-pressed to hit 40 this year.
You talk about a starting offensive lineman. I mean, Texas has lost three starting offensive linemen. I mean, where do you see them in this Big 12 conversation?
You know, Michael, Texas is probably, in my mind, and it can change, it's fluid. You've got to be able to adjust your opinions of teams once they start playing games, obviously. But they're probably my most overrated team, along with Florida, as far as Power 5 teams entering the year. This is a team, not only on the offensive line have they lost three starters, but I think more critically even defensively. I mean, they lose their top three tacklers. They only return three of their top 10 tacklers. Among those top tacklers, two linebackers who were really big-time players for them, Gary Johnson and Anthony Wheeler. They lose up front the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, Charles Omenihu. They lose their top two cornerbacks, including Chris Boyd, who was a late-round NFL draft pick. So they've got a lot of people to replace on defense. And then offensively, you mentioned the offensive line. That's been an issue at Texas over the last decade, really, to get down to it. And then one thing that really hurts them as well was the what I believe was an ill-fated decision by little Jordan Humphrey to declare early for the NFL draft. If they had him coming back and Colin Johnson and some of the younger guys, including true freshman Jordan Whittington, who's a guy to watch for Texas, you know, I think they would have more guys on offense who could get the ball down the field. And Texas clearly needs to get some more explosive plays. And, you know, I think they have some challenges. And that's certainly one of my regular season win totals, playing Texas under that win total.
Paul Stone is a Texas graduate, so he's fading his own school there. But he does that often.
Yeah.
He does that. He sees the flaws within the program. He's not just a fan, Mike.
That's right. Yeah. He is not an emotional bettor.
Right.
Please don't be an emotional bettor. You know, you can't be an emotional in anything. Paul, what team in the Big 12 do you see? Am I wrong to think that Kansas State can rebound? And B, I know they're going. TCU can rebound after all the injuries they've had last year, and kind of challenge some of the Oklahoma or Texas for the title.
You know, I never. It's hard to bet against Gary Patterson because Gary Patterson does more with less. You know, some coaches in college football, without mentioning names, do less with more, maybe. But Patterson's a guy who recruits quarterbacks and running backs and turns them into – puts weight on and gets them in the weight room and turns them into defensive ends and linebackers and that type of thing. So you can't really look at his recruiting classes and know exactly what he's going to come up with. But I, quite frankly, I still think TCU's got some issues. They only averaged 21 points a game last year. They lose – they only return on defense one of their top eight tacklers. And you did mention, though, they had tons of injuries last year. They've got big-time questions at quarterback. You know, Alex Delton's a great athlete, the Kansas State transfer, but he's not a very polished passer. I have a number of contenders there. I think they've legitimately got six guys competing for that job going into summer workouts. So I'm not really too bullish on TCU this year. But to be honest, I think the way the conference shapes up, clearly Oklahoma's by themselves, then Texas is a clear-cut number two. I think West Virginia is a clear-cut number 9, Kansas a clear-cut number 10. Mm-hmm. Those 3 through 8 teams, they could come out of the deck, you know, any way, any number of ways. I could see the, you know, that's really going to be something to watch there, because I think those teams are all quite equal in talent and possibilities.
If you look at the Westgate odds to win the Big 12, we have it up on the screen here. Oklahoma minus 140, the favorite. Texas 3-1, Iowa State 8-1. Oklahoma State and TCU at 12-1, Baylor at 16, Texas Tech 20, West Virginia 30, K-State 60, and Kansas 300-1 with Les Miles. Now, Paul, you might disagree with me on this, but I have high hopes for Texas Tech here. I love the coaching change to Matt Wells. You have a quarterback, you have an experienced quarterback. He's a sophomore, but he played last season. He's back. I think Texas Tech's got some playmakers on that offense, and I think Wells is a much more well-rounded head coach than Cliff Kingsbury was. I like Texas Tech as a team that could move up maybe to that third spot in the Big 12, even though Iowa State right now looks like the team in that third spot. Could K-State or Texas Tech make a move? I like the coaching change at Kansas State as well.
Yeah, I think both those teams, and TCU included, again, that 3-8 is really really jumbled. But, you know, Matt Wells comes over from Utah State, and you mentioned Alan Bowman, the true sophomore quarterback. Anytime you have a quarterback returning that can play, that's a big plus. With him, you know, Matt Wells brings a lot of his previous staff members, the most of which probably is offensive coordinator David Yost, who's been at Missouri and was a wide receivers coach up at Washington State with Mike Leach. He's kind of an innovator there. Texas Tech, definitely interested, an interesting type team. Kansas State, you know, they've got some, you know, I heard somebody about 2 weeks ago maybe say they couldn't believe that some people were picking West Virginia below Kansas State in the Big 12. And I'm not saying West Virginia might not ultimately finish ahead of Kansas State, but certainly going into the year, if you don't have Kansas State power rated ahead of West Virginia, you need to redo your power ratings, in my opinion. You know, they got a quarterback coming back, Skylar Thompson. They've got some defensive people coming back. I like their mesh. They did lose, I think, Isaiah Zuber, one of their playmakers. He's in the transfer portal. I think he's one of those guys who hadn't decided where he's going to end up yet. That certainly doesn't help. Right. But I do. They're a curious team, along with all those, you know, aforementioned six teams. You know, the third through eight is going to be interesting, and certainly Tech and Kansas State are going to be players for those the upper echelon of that grouping.
Yeah, we didn't talk about my Baylor Bears. My son, for all full disclosure, used to work at Baylor. Now he doesn't anymore. But I followed this Baylor program closely, and you know they've not been able to stop anybody on defense. But they return eight starters back on defense. Seven starters back. They've got eight on offense, and I think Charlie Brewer has taken a huge step. I think he's improved his arm strength. He's got feet. He's quick. And this Baylor team, to me, if they play any defense at all, Paul, they could be a sleeper. They really could. They played so well against Vanderbilt, which was a good Vanderbilt team in that bowl game.
Yeah, Baylor's a team, you know, like you said, you kind of took all the words out of my mouth and just did a great synopsis of Baylor. You know, they got to play better defense. I think they've got better numbers now on the offensive line than they've had historically. The last few years, they have given up the first 2 years under Matt Rhule. They gave up 38 sacks in 2017, 39 sacks last year. So they really have not. Of course, they throw the ball a lot, and they've been playing from behind. So that accounts for a lot of that. But hearing Coach Rhule talk at Media Days a couple of days ago, he feels a lot better about his offensive line. And again, Charlie Brewer, a guy playing a true junior, playing in his third season. He's got some moxie. He's got Denzel Mims, a speedster who has caught a lot of footballs there at Baylor. And they're an interesting team, too. And they've got a guy, James Lockhart, who will be a defensive end. He's a senior. He's been at a number of programs, including Texas A&M. But he was a big-time recruit a few years ago. And this is his swan song, and he's a guy who's got some measurables. And they're hoping that he can give them some penetration on that defense and maybe help them. The last couple of years, they've given up 36 and 32 points a game, and they need to get a little bit better than that. And Baylor's another, you know, very interesting team to keep an eye on.
Follow him on Twitter at Paul Stone Sports, college football handicapper out of Texas. Paul, will wrap up the Big 12 discussion with any win totals or early season games week one games or games of the year that you might recommend as far as the Big 12?
Well, looking at the win totals, you know, I talked about Texas. I don't know what their number is right now, but it was about a week ago, it was 9.5, shaded to the under, minus 145. And I can certainly, you know, recommend taking the under on Texas. I think they're going to lose at home to LSU, lose to Oklahoma, and, you know, lose another game in there, which would obviously put them at 9 wins or fewer. And so I like Texas to go under. Another bet would be, you know, probably in that conference, you might look at Kansas under. Their total is 3, shaded to the under at minus 140. You know, they're only 3-42 in Big 12 play the last 5 years. They're going to get off to a 2-0 start with wins over Indiana State and Coastal Carolina. But, you know, I think to think Kansas is going to win 4 games, you know how many times they've won 4 games the last 9 years? 0.
Yeah.
So if they don't win 4 games, you're going to get a push at worst. On games of the year, just off the top of my head, if you can still find Oklahoma -3 over Texas in that Red River Shootout there in Dallas, you know, I would recommend taking the Sooners there. As far as what's still on the board, you know, that's one that really jumps to mind, Oklahoma -3 over Texas.
All right, Paul, let's talk about Clemson and Alabama quickly, because Michael and I were talking about this early in the show. We both like Clemson a little better than Bama. I think you might have Bama rated a little bit higher. Break down those two teams if you can, and what do you think of Georgia kind of sitting there in the third spot?
Well, I think, first of all, Alabama and Clemson are certainly in a class of their own. You know, there's a pretty significant drop-off from those two teams to Georgia, which I think is pretty much a clear consensus number 3 starting the season. You know, I had on my power ratings that I turned into you earlier in the year, I had Clemson number 1 and Alabama number 2 for a long time, and then right before I turned them into you, I went Alabama. So I'm kind of, you know, either way, I could see it kind of 1A and 1B.
Uh-huh.
Both these teams have great offenses. I mean, these teams have the ability to average over 50 points a game this year, and both might do it. I certainly think probably one will do it. Obviously have great quarterback play, great skill play. They're just really, really both revved up offensively. I think the one thing to watch, even though Dabo Swinney has been, you know, just brilliant there at Clemson, is the defense at Clemson. They've obviously recruited at an exceptionally high level, probably better than anybody or close to better than anybody the last 3 or 4 years. So the guys that they have are certainly extremely talented. They're just inexperienced. So they've got a lot of new faces on defense, and that's kind of what caused me to switch my rating of Alabama and Clemson. They're rating Alabama number 1 to start the season. But Clemson has a little more defensive question marks than Alabama. But, you know, again, we're going to start getting data points once these games are being played. And, again, from a handicapping standpoint, my opinions can change very quickly, because I'm not one to put my feet in the ground and just say, hey, this is what I think, so I'm going to stick with it. As I start seeing action and plays and games and results, my opinions can change very quickly.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. But the one thing I learned from this conversation today, Paul, which has been outstanding, is you like LSU to beat Texas even on the road, right?
You know, I do, and that's a little bit, you know, we all know how well Tom Herman teams have performed as an underdog. I just think for the second game of the year, you know, they would have played Texas, or would have played Louisiana Tech at home the game before. But with so many new players, you know, new faces and all that, against an LSU team that really has veterans at just about every position, and the ones that they don't, you know, they've got guys like, you know, Daryl Stingley, a true freshman at cornerback, who some people are already saying might be the best defensive back in the country by the end of the year. This guy is just receiving rave reviews. They have a running back who's a big-time Emory, who's a big-time true freshman recruit that's maybe going to fill a void there at tailback. So they really don't have any big-time question marks. They've got a quarterback, Joe Burrow, who's coming back for his second year. I just think LSU has a more veteran team, and Texas has a lot of question marks. It is going to be at night. It is going to be a raucous atmosphere, and there will be a home field advantage. But I just think LSU has a more veteran team, so I'm certainly leaning that way right now.
Certainly good points. I do think there are two question marks, Michael, with LSU. One is Joe Burrow, the quarterback, and the other is Ed Orgeron.
I would reverse those. You know, I would reverse those. But you think
Orgeron's a bigger question mark?
Well, I mean, look, you got to be able to make some decisions. You're playing chess, so you play against the good coaches in this league.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got to be able to make adjustments, and you got to be able to play chess. And you know, if it all goes to plan, that's great. You know, but if it doesn't, and you get into the heat of the battle, and you got to start thinking, and you got to start making decisions that adjust the game plan, then you're going to be in a problem. I mean, he thinks he's going to go into the spread offense and everything's going to go to plan. I mean, you know, there's going to be some things that happen to you. And I think that he's going to have to make those decisions. And those decisions typically haven't worked in his favor.
Pick up the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. It's going to be out next week. Michael Lombardi's got a column in there. We were talking about your column idea before the show. It's really good. It's going to be worth the read. Pick that up. And Paul Stone, you have a column on play on and play against teams in college football. Give us one of your play-on teams before we take a break here.
You know, one of my play-on teams would be Michigan State. I know that's a team that a lot of people are going to be looking at this year, but mm-hmm. if I've got time to just do a little bit of support of that, you know, you look at a team last year that entered the year ranked number 11 in the nation, Brian Lewerke off a 2017 campaign. That I thought kind of started him off in the season last year as one of the better quarterbacks in the country. He obviously slumped tremendously, threw more interceptions than touchdowns, had a shoulder injury around mid-year, just struggled the whole year. They lost in a very ugly bowl game, 7-6 to Oregon in the Red Box Bowl.
Yep.
But one thing to keep in mind, Mark D'Antonio, when his teams at Michigan State, and this goes, I think he's been there about 12 or 13 years, when his teams have won 7 games or fewer in a season, which is the case last year, they went 7-6, it has rebounded to win an average of 10.8 games a year the following year. So they usually rebound nicely. They've got a lot of defensive pieces back. I like Michigan State as a play-on team in 2019.
I agree with that opinion.
Me too.
Well.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. All the starters back on defense mm-hmm. are good.
I just did the Big Ten preview for the VSiN betting guide, and I was really high on Michigan State. Wow. College football handicapper Paul Stone out of Texas at Paul Stone Sports. Paul, we'll let you go. Go watch some golf, man.
Thanks, Paul.
Good deal. Good luck to you guys this weekend. Thanks for having me on. Everybody have a great football season.
Thank you.
All right. Paul is a golf bettor, Michael. When we come back, we're going to update the British Open.
Great.
Of Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard is on the way. But don't get left out on VSiN's new Point Spread Weekly. Find out more at VSiN.com.
This is the Ron Flatter Mini Racing Pod, previewing a big weekend of races from Saratoga and the coaching club American Oaks.
Oh, what a fabulous filly she is! Matamoy Girl wins it by 3!
To opening week at Del Mar.
It's Catalina Cruiser opening up 4, 5, 6. You can pick your own number now. Catalina Cruiser could not have been more impressive in the San Diego.
And to a million-dollar race on the Jersey Shore.
The champ is back! In a good-looking performance, cruises home in the Mescal Invitational.
Those were memories from last year. Who will win this year? We talked to renowned Monmouth Park handicapper Brad Thomas about the Haskell and to trainer Peter Yurton about the San Diego Handicap. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod. It posts on Friday morning, and it's available from Apple, Google, Stitcher, and at vsin.com/podcasts.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-216-8991. 800-216-8991. 800-216-8991. That's 800-216-8991.
didn't think he'd put down the microphone completely, did you?
Greetings from Las Vegas.
Well, neither did we. Hear legendary broadcaster Brent Musburger on the Vegas Stats and Information Network.
I never told my wife how much fun I had when I was staying here for about 3 weeks. Oh, it's terrible living in a casino. It was the greatest 3 weeks of my life. This is the only book in town that's open 24 hours.
There you go.
Make that bet around 4 o'clock
right.
in the morning.
You don't need a dress code. Jammers are good.
Brent Musburger on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Sirius XM Channel 204. Your search is over. You found Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on Sirius XM 204. Now listen up for Winformation.
As Paul Howard might say, what a disaster.
Why?
Rory McIlroy with the snowman right out of the gates today. The pre-tournament favorite with the eight. He hits an opening drive out of bounds.
You can't take a mulligan, I guess. You know, that's terrible. What a horrible way to start. Home, you're hosting everybody.
Yep.
You know, it's the home, your home course, but hey, you got to fight through it, right?
Northern Ireland, Royal Portrush. This is a course where Rory set the course record as a teenager. He comes out today and puts an eight up on the card.
It's a humbling sport, Matt. It's a humbling
golf
sport.
Is very humbling.
It is a very humbling.
It's kind of a metaphor for life, Michael. It's not life is not all fairways and greens, right?
No,
you got sand traps and water hazards.
It's
and
mental
high
toughness.
Weeds and trees, and you got to be mentally tough.
Right. That's really ultimately what you have to be is mentally tough. One thing about Jordan Spieth is, as much as he yells at the caddy and you know his game looks this, he is mentally tough. You can see his mental. He fights through it. I mean, sometimes he looks like an amateur golfer playing out there, but he he fights. But this course is. You know, I mean, the wind's starting to kick up, the rain's coming, and that's what, the one thing about it is, you have more than just the course as your opponent when you're playing the British Open. You're playing weather too,
and the weather, like you're saying, is starting to impact this British Open right now. We're watching the radar, and it's raining. You got a little wind coming in off the coast, so the conditions getting a little bit tougher. I really thought, Michael, this morning that the course is too easy. You know, weather oftentimes is. The main defense for a golf course. There was no defense this morning. It was kind of like a birdie fest.
Right.
And now I think the course is getting a little bit tougher for these guys. The leader is Shane Lowry. Actually, we have a three-way tie. Dylan Fratelli, Robert McIntyre, which I don't know one person who bet on Robert McIntyre this week, but it's Lowry, Fratelli, and McIntyre tied atop the leaderboard at 4-under. And you have guys like Webb Simpson, Graham McDowell, right there in the hunt, and we have yet to see Tiger Woods on the course today. But Ricky Fowler, is at even par, I think. He just hit the back nine.
Well, that's good. And, you know, look, this is you want to get this round into – I mean, like guys like Mickelson who didn't – Mickelson shot 4-over for the day or whatever he did. I mean, you had a score early. If you went out early, you had a score because I don't think they're going to start – this with the weather now, the scoring's coming down.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming back to you. Rory's plus three. He got it down. We can just get this thing back to plus two. He's got a chance, right?
Rory, just a nice little chip there. Almost hold that thing from about 30 yards, but it looks like that's going to be a par putt for Rory. He's back to three over. So I think, if he gets out of today's round at two over, he's got to feel pretty good about it after, the snowman on number one
today.
Yeah,
because the way the weather looks, I don't think this is going to be a lot of abundance of birdies out there, you know? And so – you just got to think you got a chance to – the field's going to come back to you a little bit.
Adam Scott right now, 3-over through 10. I don't like to see that. Phil Mickelson has been a flop today. The New York Post had a headline, "Thin it to win it." Phil Mickelson went on a two-week diet, Michael, and he was drinking this special coffee, and he lost 15 pounds. And he's trying to convince himself that his new body was going to help him play better golf. He went out today and fired a 76.
That's not good. Although, I 2 weeks of just drinking coffee and they only lose 15, you would think you'd get at least 20 off, right? I mean, if I'm going to give up food for 2 weeks, you got to hope we get more than 15, all right? But that's, Phil's weight's always kind of fluctuated. I'm not sure that's always the issue with him. It's can he hit the ball in the fairway, right?
Yeah. Phil's never going to be a swimsuit model, and that's not the objective.
No, neither am I.
David Duvall in last place right now at 14 over through 11 holes.
I didn't even think David Duvall played anymore. I thought he just does Golf Network.
Well, he's not really playing today.
Yeah.
He's 14 over through 11 holes.
Yeah. If I was playing Tiger Woods and I was 14 over, I would try to start a new game. I would like, okay, let's go to another game.
Brooks Koepka is on the course. What a phenomenal run Koepka's had. If you look at the past four majors.
He's so mentally tough, that kid.
Doesn't finish below second.
I mean, you just I love watching his mental toughness, and nothing seems to distract him. You talk about a guy, when you watch golfers, I think the ultimate what you want to be able to see is, can they keep the noise, the chatter from outside away from their mind, you know, and they never get outside the next shot, you know, and that's how you have to manage a football game, and the way they play it, everything is set up to the next thing. I think he's remarkable in his mental toughness. I mean, nothing really gets to him. It's just the next shot. You got to have that mentality, and he goes on and he keeps fighting. And look, you know, and Rory made that putt to save par on that hole, but
Rory's fighting back.
You got to have some fight in you. I mean, I think there's a lot more mental toughness in this sport than you might think in terms of like we think football mentally tough, but golfers have to be mentally tough to endure.
Yeah, it'd be easy to quit when things go bad in golf.
Yeah, I mean, look,
you do see some guys quit out there.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mickelson's probably got the jet greased up for flying home on Friday night. I would think.
Might as well fly home tonight.
Yeah.
Also, yet to hit the course, Dustin Johnson. South Point took a $10,000 bet on DJ yesterday, and
did they really?
He closed as the favorite here at 11-2 or 5-1. I think it was plus 550. DJ,
what was the 10,000? What were the odds when the 10,000 came in?
I believe 10-1 here, but he was high as 15-1 at some spots.
Wow.
Also, Tiger is going to tee off at 4:10. So, wait a minute.
You got to do your
7:10. 7:10. Our time. 7:10 Pacific time is going to be Tiger Woods and John Rahm off the course.
Hey, you like John Rahm, right?
I like John Rahm this week.
You like John
Rahm. 11 minutes after Tiger, John Rahm tees off today.
Got a great – this is the perfect time. Study a little football, watch a little golf, have it on the other screen. You can't beat that, right?
You got golf from basically 10:30 last night to around noon today.
Can't beat it. Can't beat it.
I think it's great. We're going to talk a lot more football. We'll take a quick break. Joe Fortenbaugh joins us next.
More of Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard is on the way. But don't get left out on VSiN's new Point Spread Weekly. Find out more at VSiN.com.
If you're a loyal follower of VSiN, it's time to take the next step. Sign up for VSiN's free daily newsletter. You'll get an email every single morning with news, analysis, and betting resources to help you improve your handicapping. Dave Tooley tracks the ATS results from the night before. Jeff Fogel offers insights on how to read the ups and downs of the sports betting markets so you know what the sharp bettors are doing. Receive the daily betting schedules from the South Point Sportsbook with games listed in official Nevada rotation order. Watch highlights from VSiN shows, plus learn about special offers and discounts from VSiN. That's all for free. That's all in VSiN's daily newsletter. Sign up at VSiN.com/newsletter. That's VSiN.com/newsletter. It's kind of like getting a postcard right here from your friends in Las Vegas.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-795-3441. 800-795-3441. 800-795-3441. That's 800-795-3441.
Madonna.
Let's Vitamix together.
Shares her iconic songs.
Oh.
And the stories behind them.
I made a video and it made some people mad.
On a new SiriusXM channel.
There's always a man involved. I'm probably telling you too much.
Madonna's Madam X Radio.
Every time I do a project, I have to take it on like 1,000%.
On now for a limited time on Spotlight Channel 4.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Braves open the day 6.5 games in front of Washington in the NL East race. The two teams meet today at SunTrust Park, game one of a weekend series. Steven Strasburg for the $1.30 favored Nationals. He is 2-0 with a 3.46 ERA. It's 16 strikeouts and two starts against the Braves this season. For Atlanta, Julio Teheran looking for his first win since June the 13th. The Braves $1.20 underdog, 9.5 under the total. Broncos signed former Missouri quarterback Drew Locke to his rookie contract. He'll be the backup to Joe Flacco this season in Denver. Broncos over under win total, 7. VSiN's College Football Betting Guide breaks down all 130 FBS teams with expert analysis from your favorite guys in the desert. It's coming out July 25th and costs $19.99. But pre-order now and get it for just $9.99. Go to vsin.com/betfootball. That's vsin.com/betfootball. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's been between 2 and 3 minutes. You know what that means. It must be time for more Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on SiriusXM 204.
Plenty more football talk in this segment. We'll talk about the Raiders as well. Joe Fortenbaugh knows the Raiders well. You can hear him on 957 The Game in the Bay Area and also see him on ESPN's Daily Wager. I know that, Michael, you and Joe worked together in the past.
The tipper.
You said mostly, I was going to say, we talked about it during the break. You said you did most of the work and Joe cashed the checks.
No. Joe was the worker, man. He was always had a tip of the day. Tipper, what's your tip of the day today? Who you like? Give us something.
I'd probably look at the over in the Giants-Mets game tonight. It's going to be Bumgarner versus Syndergaard, so everyone's going to be talking about how it's a pitching matchup. You're going to get excited about the names. It's probably going to affect the value. The reality is that Syndergaard isn't the guy that we remember from previous years. Bumgarner's had a good run as of late, but he's been shaky too. And if you look at what the Giants have been doing from a hitting perspective, they've won 12 of their last 14. They're averaging over 8 runs per game during that time. Both these teams are coming in cooking. So you see that line sitting 7. If you wanted a little tip, I'd probably go over Mets-Giants tonight.
The Giants have turned into the Yankees all of a sudden. What's going on with this offense in San Francisco? And
crazy.
Yeah, I know. And Joe, you also have two pitchers tonight that are both involved in trade talks, right? Do you think Matt Bum eventually gets moved, or this Giants rally maybe is going to keep him in San Fran?
That's our key talking point right now. It's like, what do you do? Because the Giants are sitting just a couple games out of that second wild card. But what kind of gamble do you really want to take here? I mean, we're talking about a sample size where this has been a good baseball team since June 1st. But we're only talking about a month and a half of baseball. And while it's been an impressive month and a half of baseball, if you are going to rebuild this team, you're going to need prospects in order to do it. And Bumgarner, and more specifically, Will Smith, because we all know how important bullpen arms are, especially in the month of October, these guys are going to bring a big return on your investment. So you can either hang with them and try to conjure up some magic for Bochy's final run. And what happens if you come up short? Both those guys hit free agency and you get nothing. I don't envy the position new general manager Farhan Zaidi is in, but he was brought in for a reason. And that reason was not to be beloved by the fan base. The fan base beloved the previous regime, but they handed out bad contracts to guys like Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, even though Crawford's hot lately. So you got to stay the course, trade them, bring in the assets. And if it doesn't work out, so be it. But that's the long-term future for the Giants because they got some really bad deals that are dragging them down right now.
All right, that's Joe Fortenbaugh, 95.7 The Game and ESPN's Daily Wager. Michael Lombardi and I talked about the Raiders early in today's show. We heard from Brent Musburger about the travel schedule, 32,000-plus miles this coming season, more miles than the Bills, Giants, and Jets will travel combined by almost 9,000. The Raiders also go 49 days without playing in their home stadium. Joe, now you're a handicapper. You know this is going to create some interesting situational handicapping spots throughout the season. How do you think this travel is going to affect the Raiders, and do you think it's going to be a major negative?
That's just one of a variety of factors that has me looking at this team, scratching my head, thinking, what's the upside here? What's the upside? I'm trying to figure out what the plan is. This is something I learned from Mike way back in the day. What's the plan? You know, there are teams that make it very clear what they want to do. They stay the course. They make incremental gains. You can see the plan in Indianapolis. You know exactly what Chris Ballard and Ed Dodds are trying to do, and they're going to have a lot of success as we continue moving forward. You understand what the plan is in places like New England and Seattle as well, but what's the plan in Oakland? One minute you're hearing from the front office that they want to really focus on character, and then they make the trade for Antonio Brown, and they sign Vontaze Burfict and Richie Incognito. Well, those moves would fly in the face of the words we were hearing earlier. So you've got a lot up in the air with this team. I think if Derek Carr is in the right situation, he's the type of guy that can help you win games. But there are so many variables with this team. And last year, I didn't see a lot of progress throughout the course of the season. Then let's talk about the schedule, which you brought up, Matt. And then on top of it, look at the division. Kansas City's no joke. I don't think they're the best team in the division. Personally, I like the Chargers, but I'm just talking about the regular season because we all know what happens to the Chargers come playoff time. But I think the Chargers are going to be every bit as nasty as we saw last season. They're a double-digit win team. So is Kansas City. You're looking at Denver. They're probably in a bit of a rebuild there, but the Raiders have a really, really tall task in front of them, and I'm not necessarily sure they're organized to the point where they're going to be able to overcome obstacles other teams aren't being asked to overcome.
Yeah, I don't disagree, Joe. I think that the plan is hard to see. I mean, when you give a head coach a 10-year contract, and then he starts his first year, he signs a bunch of older players, and then he gets rid of all those older players, and then the next year he comes in and he starts signing guys with really little character, and then they come out and say, well, they want great character. Then they pick Colin Farrell, the fourth pick overall in the draft, because they said he was their kind of guy, and 2 weeks later they sign Richie Incognito, who is, I guess, still their kind of guy. I mean, this is classic John Gruden. To me, John has always been, as a personnel guy, he's always been, just give me more play. Give me more juice, man. I need more juice, you know? And so he's got his juice, and just, I don't know if it's all going to come together as a team, but I'm with you. I like Denver a little bit more than you because I do think Vic Fangio on defense will make Denver a formidable opponent. I think it's hard to play up there. I think that's going to be a home field advantage for the Broncos. I think it'll be challenging. I think with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller being two guys coming off the edge that they can do some things, and certainly Chris Harris gets his contract worked out. I like Denver to be a much improved team, and I think that that's where the Raiders are. It's every game they play in their division is really going to be a hard, challenging game. But let's shift. Who do you like as a sleeper team, Joe, to come out of the AFC and the NFC?
All right, so if we're working through that, and I love digging through some of these win totals this year, I've been trying to figure out the best approach in the NFC. Obviously, right in my backyard, you've got the San Francisco 49ers. So I've been, the number on them in Vegas, everywhere you pretty much look, is a win total of 8. I think that makes perfect sense, given a handful of factors I'll get into in a second. But it seems like everybody we're talking to on the station up here from a national perspective likes this team to threaten 10 wins and likes this team to go to the playoffs. I can see it. I really can. Garoppolo's the type of guy who's got the tools with the tools around him to go push this team to the next level. I think he's the type of guy, and this is one of the ways I look at quarterbacks. If there's a minute 40 left on the clock, you got one timeout, you need 4 points, and you're 80 yards away, do you feel good about your situation? That's not to say he always needs to come through, but there's a situation where you can look at that, say the AFC Championship game, and Brady's got the ball, and you realize if you're on the other side of that, you're in big, big trouble. Aaron Rodgers is very similar to that. Conversely, if Blake Bortles has the ball in that spot late in the game, you're feeling pretty good if you're rooting for the defense. That's exactly what happened in that London game against Philadelphia last season. Every time Bortles touched the ball late, you realize you were going to be in decent shape. So Garoppolo feels like that type of guy. I think the improved pass rush between Dee Ford and Nick Bosa is really going to help the secondary, which has been a bit of a weak spot. But here's what gets me. I don't have it in front of me, but look at the final 6 games on the schedule for the Niners. If they somehow navigate their way to contention with 6 to play, they're going to host Green Bay, who's coming off the bye going into that game. And then in no particular order, they're at Baltimore. Right after that, they're going to be at New Orleans. They've got to play the Rams. They've got to finish the season at Seattle. Atlanta, they're going to be hosting in that stretch. That is a really, really difficult stretch. So if they're going to threaten 10 in the playoffs, that's a team that has me shaking my head just a bit as to whether or not they could be a surprise. But to truly answer your question, Matt, I might take a good long look at the Carolina Panthers. They're a team that's been intriguing me for a little bit in terms of possibly breaking through the mold from what we saw last year. Cam Newton, if you take a look at the first half of the season versus the second half, the numbers were outstanding, the team was playing well, and then all of a sudden they drop off the cliff. It happens in the exact game where he injures his right shoulder against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's obviously something we need to track between now and the start of the season. But they went out and they revamped the defensive line. I'm not sure how much better it is, but they did make investments into improving the defensive line. And Newton working underneath North Turner as his offensive coordinator, you saw his completion percentage go up, and you saw him become a more efficient quarterback. I don't know if he's that much better of a quarterback, but he's a little bit better with the football. So I think Carolina is a team that's kind of lying in the weeds right now, that's not getting a lot of attention. When you move to the AFC, I think the word's out on the Colts, but I do think the AFC South is going to be the toughest division in the AFC, possibly in the entire league. The team I keep looking at for a surprise is going to be Jacksonville. We know they've got the defense. They used a top 10 pick on an edge rusher, Josh Allen out of Kentucky. But more importantly, they signed Nick Foles. Now, I know Nick Foles isn't going to be the type of guy that's going to put you over the moon if you're a fan base outside of Philadelphia, but he can protect the football. And the sneaky hire that no one's talking about is that Foles' quarterback coach during the Super Bowl run, John DeFilippo, is who Jacksonville brought in to run the offense underneath Doug Marrone. So he's reunited with DeFilippo. He's got some weapons at his disposal. If they want to run the ball, they've got Fournette if they can get him back on track. I think Jacksonville has all the makings of a team that's going to be very balanced. You're going to see the switch and turnover differential this season, and that's a big indicator of a team ready to take a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm not with you on Jacksonville, but I know why you're there, because you're truly an Eagle fan at heart, and I could see your love for Nick Foles. And certainly everybody wanted Nick Foles to not be the starting quarterback after week two of the season last year, and by week 10 they wanted him back in there. Tipper, I have a hard time looking at Jacksonville and saying they're configured right. I hear you on John DeFilippo, but I haven't seen John DeFilippo, when he operates on his own, to be a really good play caller. Frank Wright was running that offense with Doug Peterson in Philadelphia when they had success, and he was the instrument, because we've seen it in Indianapolis. Their third down percentage when Frank Wright went to Indianapolis was outstanding, and I think that changed. So, and then where does Fournette? He averaged 3.3 a carry. Their offensive line, to me, is marginal. How are they going to be able to run from spread with Fournette? He's a deep eye tailback. I don't think this team is constructed well enough offensively. I'm with you on defense. I think Josh Allen gives them another outside rusher to go along with them. But to me, there's something missing on this team. Too many times they're talking about Jalen Ramsey's contract. Who's unhappy? Did they replace Malik Jackson? He's a really good player when he played well. I don't know. Calais Campbell plays outstanding. I have a lot of question marks about Jacksonville. They could start well because of the heat and humidity playing down there, but I just don't see that at them being able to be consistent with Foles at quarterback and uncertainty at running back.
That's good debate on the Jags. Michael, he's talking about the
same. Hold on, Matt. I got to say something. How are you going to do that? You asked me to come on your program. I give you some top-notch analysis, and then you and your Super Bowl rings, you crap all over me.
That's, I didn't crap on you. I just gave you a different perspective.
I bring you on. You come on up in the Bay Area. I ask you questions. I agree with everything. I talk about how beautiful it is. I mean, this is unbelievable. You treat hosts like this.
Oh, Tipper, you know I love you. It's just, you got to have point counterpoint. I mean, look, we're not going to be just
one. I know.
You got to have a little bit. But, hey, I liked your other stuff. I think it was great. I mean, you're doing, you know, it was awesome. But
you guys can't agree on every team. All right, so the San Francisco 49ers he's talking about. How much did Payne Belichick have to trade Jimmy G? And do you think the Niners are a team to buy this year, Michael?
I like Jimmy G. What Joe said, and I think is true, I think Kyle Shanahan's a really good play caller. One of the best play callers in football, first and 10. They move the ball. Nick Mullins, I mean, C.J. Beathard. These guys, if they went to other teams, they wouldn't even be on the team. Mm-hmm. And he got production out of them. To me, I worry about defensively. Joe talked about their lack of coverage in the secondary, and I think it's a real issue. And if Bosa and if D. Ford and if Buckner and if Armstead and those defensive linemen that they've invested so much in, Solomon Thomas, I mean, they've got three number one picks, all high, and they've got two high free agents, you know, well, they got four number one picks, you count Bosa, and then a high free agent that they traded for. You know, that's a lot of money. They got to come through, and they got to be much better in the two-minute defense, and they got to be, and I think the defensive coordinator has got to address, and Joe, I like to hear your view on him from the Bay Area, is he the right coach? Because one thing about Kyle Shanahan, I think he's great. I love Kyle Shanahan. I just don't think he surrounded himself with the ideal staff. It's too many friends and not enough great coaches.
Yeah, that's a great point. And if things go south for this team, Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, is probably the first guy on the hot seat, because Shanahan and Lynch signed matching 6-year deals, and we're just going into year 3 of that. And I'm not sure Jed York is going to want another expensive buyout in order to flip the script for the 49ers. Saleh last year, here was the biggest problem. Everyone was aware that there was a talent deficiency. I think the turnovers they forced, or at least in terms of interceptions, it was an all-time NFL low with where they were at. They didn't get after opposing quarterbacks. They didn't disrupt opposing quarterbacks. They didn't get the guys off their spot. These guys are sitting back there just chewing them up all day long, and you're not forcing any turnovers or coming up with any big plays. All right, that's going to happen. We did realize that the team lacked some talent, so it was a part of a rebuild. But at the same time, there were situations in some key games where these guys just weren't even lined up properly. They were completely out of alignment, especially in the 2-minute defense when they were trying to get stops late before the half and late at the game. And that was something that was talked about on more than one occasion, with Saleh, you know, taking full responsibility for it. But that's the big problem. You got to teach some of these young guys. You know, Solomon Thomas was an expensive pick. Eric Armstead was an expensive pick, and they flashed a little bit at times. And Solomon Thomas has gone through a lot of personal stuff with the tragic death of his sister. He's got an opportunity to break out this system if they use him right, but that's the big concern. They haven't aligned these guys properly, and if you're not teaching them where to align themselves and you're not at least putting them in the best position to make a play, how can you expect them to make any stops? So that's going to be the key focus this year. There's talent on that defense now. Quan Alexander, even though he's coming off the injury, he's going to help the linebacking unit. And again, between Ford and Bosa coming in on the D-line to play alongside Pro Bowler DeForest Buckner, who had a breakout season last year, these guys should be able to make life uncomfortable for opposing quarterbacks.
All right, that's Joe Fortenbaugh, 95.7 The Game, at Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN's Daily Wager. And what I take out of that is that Joe loves the Jags, and Mike, you hate the Jags.
Well, that's the beauty of it. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Tipper.
Thanks,
it's the
Joe.
Best. Appreciate you.
Anytime, boys. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks so much for having me on. We'll talk soon.
All right. Plenty of football we could talk with Joe there. We could have gone on for another half hour.
That's the best.
We have to take a break. Yeah. We'll be back. We'll talk a little British Open and baseball next.
More of Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard is on the way. But don't get left out on VSiN's new Point Spread Weekly. Find out more at VSiN.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Pauly from VSiN. How many of you have something that hurts, like on your body? Right now, I've got this thing with my back, an old timer, bugging the hell out of me. I heard about this stuff called Voodoo Pain Relief Cream, and I'm thinking, okay, what's this all about? Did some research, checked it out. Good, real good. Patented formula. Must mean something good. 11 anti-inflammatory ingredients. Sounds like a lot. Nanotechnology. No idea what that is. Must be good. Read the testimonials. Off the charts good. So I thought this might be BS, but I'll give it a shot. And what do you know? Boom. Jackpot. What a move this was, trying Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. My God, my back feels better already. Now listen to me. I know everyone has something bothering them. Joint pain, arthritis pain, muscle pain. Do you want to feel better? Then get this stuff now. Go to VoodooPainRelief.com and enter the code Pauly, and you'll get a special deal. VoodooPainRelief.com, code is Pauly. VoodooPainRelief.com, VoodooPainRelief.com.
Yeah, we sort of stopped paying attention and racked up a lot of debt.
Yeah, it was stressful. He blamed me for my credit card debt, and I blamed him for building that man cave.
It's awesome. Anyway, we stopped blaming each other, did our homework, and read that a smart way to consolidate debt is to get a fixed-rate loan. But getting a loan was brutal.
And a time drain.
So I was in my man cave researching personal loans, and I found Best Egg.
Yep.
They have an A-plus rating with the BBB, and Best Egg handles everything online, start to finish.
And Consumer Affairs gave Best Egg 5 stars for their easy online loan app. And we could be approved and funded in as little as one business day. I applied online with no impact to my credit score.
She always takes credit for my wins. But long story short, she got an awesome loan, yep, paid off our cards and some bills while lowering our monthly payment. The Best Egg loan was like a total fresh start.
Yeah.
Visit BestEgg.com/blue.
bestegg.com/blue.
Subject to credit approval. Actual rates, fees, and approval times will vary.
Barstool Radio can go everywhere you go when you listen on demand.
How about them apples?
Catch up with the latest episodes of The Yak with Dan Katz,
Big If True with PFT Commenter,
and the Barstool Radio Show with Dave Portnoy.
This show's going to get me fat.
I was 40 pounds lighter.
I want hair.
I'm going to come out of my hairline.
I like everybody till you don't like me, and then I hold a grudge forever.
To listen, just download the SiriusXM app,
search Barstool Radio,
and enjoy.
We're back with more Follow the Money on SiriusXM 204. Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard have the mics for the information you need to win.
It's tough to sleep during a heat wave like we're having in Vegas right now. Now there's actually a bed that keeps you cool through the night, no matter how hot it is outside. It's the Pod by 8 Sleep with dynamic temperature regulation to enhance your rest and recovery. For $150 off, go to 8sleep.com/vsin. The tipper, Joe Fortenbaugh, said he likes the over tonight in the Mets-Giants game in San Francisco. That's 9:45 Eastern time. The total is 7, over minus 120. It's a pick'em game, minus 105 each way. Noah Syndergaard against Madison Bumgarner. The Giants have won 12 of their past 14 with an offensive explosion. Both pitchers involved in trade talks. Syndergaard 4-0 with a 3.82 ERA over his past five starts. 9 strikeouts, no walks against Miami his last time out. Active Giants hitters batting 182 with 0 extra base hits and 77 at-bats against Syndergaard.
Who you like in this game? You doing anything on this game?
Mad Bum 2-0 with a 1.80 ERA over his past four. I'm not betting against the Giants the way they're playing right now.
No?
I lean Giants minus 105. Mad Bum against the Mets last month. Quality start. He's 6-0 with an ERA of 2 and 8 career starts against
the
Mets.
But you like the Dodgers-Philly game. That's the game you like?
Yeah, we'll talk about that one next hour. But, Michael, you know when a team's hot, you really don't want to bet against them.
That's true.
The Giants beat the Rockies 11-8 yesterday. They were 12-2.
Those are softball scores, aren't they?
Yeah, at Coors Field. 12-2 in their past 14.
Yeah.
Nobody saw this offensive explosion coming from the Giants. Shane Lowry leads the British Open by himself. Lowry at
4-under. How many beers do you think Shane Lowry's had after that round?
Plenty.
Yeah, he's had a few Guinness, yeah.
He can drink. He's a 60-1 shot at the South Point Sportsbook, 85-1 at Circus Sports. We'll be back hour number two. Plenty more football talk with Michael Lombardi.
More of Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard is on the way. But don't get left out on VSiN's new Point Spread Weekly. Find out more at VSiN.com.
Attention all homeowners in jeopardy of foreclosure. If you owe more on your home than it's actually worth, have missed one or more mortgage payments, have been denied a loan modification, or are facing foreclosure for any reason, you must listen to this message. A toll-free mortgage relief hotline's been established for anyone having their home lost in foreclosure. Just call 888-497-1876. And see if your home qualifies. We can help stop your home from going into foreclosure or even get your home out of foreclosure. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have faced foreclosure in the past year alone. This foreclosure defense group has helped thousands of people just like you fight the foreclosure process so they can stay in their homes. But you must call 888-497-1876 now to qualify. The call and information are absolutely free and the help is real. Don't lose your home. Call the Mortgage Relief Hotline now at 888-497-1876. That's 888-497-1876. 888-497-1876.